Like to speak this morning on the subject of say so. And it comes from here, Psalm 107, verses 1 to 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. So I'd like to share five points with you about the things that we say. So the first thing is I'd like to say about this is that words, I don't know if you know this, but words have creative power. When you speak something out, you actually give life to what you're saying. Let's take Almighty God as an example. When God created the earth, he didn't just think it into existence, had a good thought, didn't feel it into existence. He had it in his heart, but nothing actually happened until he said so. There are 8 occasions in Genesis 1 where God actually didn't think it, but he said, let there be. He spoke it. Let there be light, and there was light. Let the ground teem with living creatures, and that did happen as he spoke. In order to be able to step up a gear, if you like, go to the next level. People are talking about our acquisition of this church building as going up to a different level. I want to suggest to us this morning that in our own lives, if a key to being able to go up to a next level is to be able to speak right words, is to say so, things have got to come out of our mouth. Good things, that is. I was talking with, is Shirley here today? Shirley Hardy? No, she's not. Last time I said something about Shirley, I got into big trouble afterwards, so I'm going to have to watch it this time. Nothing controversial here. I had a conversation with her the other... See, I wanted her to be here to vet what I said, but she can't be. But anyway, speaking to her the other night, and it seems that some 25 years ago, the leadership team of the church then asked Shirley with some other prayers to go around the Grange estate, where St. Pius Church is based. And what she did with the team was pray, but also speak life into that area. And she told me the other night that improvements have taken place on the estate, buildings knocked down and other ones erected and so on, and things are better than they were then. But we've just acquired this building as well. And I think it's a considerable part of that is the declarations that were made all those years ago of life over that area. Okay, so words, first things, words have creative power. The second thing, and you probably know this, but I'll tell you anyway, the second thing is what we say can have either a good or a bad effect. That's number two. And Proverbs 6 and verse 2 says we are snared sometimes by the words of our mouth. Have you ever said something, thought, oh, no. Oh, oh, no. You know what I mean? And James 3 and verse 5, the tongue, in fact, sets the whole course of someone's life. Did you know, a few years ago, some research was done into the effect of our speech on our bodies. And people who study the brain, neurology and all that sort of thing, found, and it's evidentially based, facts and figures here, that the words we speak, that the body secretes certain enzymes in the direction of our speech. So in other words, if we say, I'm happy, and keep saying it, there are certain things released in our bodies that actually cause your body to cheer up, if you know what I mean. And the opposite is the case. So even just in our physical frame, our words affect the outcome of our lives, if you like. Now, if you say, or if I say, and this, this is a thing that we all tend to do from time to time. If we say things like, do you know what? I'm always so unlucky. Everybody else gets the lucky breaks. They never happen to me. And we're just actually inviting bad things into our lives, one way or another. If we say, do you know what? I've had this illness for such a long time, I don't think I will ever get well. You know what you're doing? You're inviting illness to camp outside your door and knock on your door ever louder. You know what? I've been through so much. I don't think I'll ever be happy again. Well, you're just inviting those very things to stay with you, perhaps even to get worse. And my point this morning is this: if you want to fulfill a God-given dream, overcome an addiction, get round an obstacle, at some point or other, part of your victory over those things, the right sort of conversation has got to come out of your mouth. To get over it, to get through it, we've got to start declaring and saying the same things that God would say about that situation and not what you feel necessarily inside. Here's the thing: what you consistently say you are moving towards. See, it's one thing to believe. It's one thing for God to believe, I'm going to make the earth now, I'm going to do it. It's one thing to feel, say you're blessed. But it's another thing altogether to actually say, I am blessed. I remember David saying once, he came into the office and said, you know, I've been declaring this, that I am highly favored of the Lord. Was it that? He said even more than that. Wonderfully and highly blessed and favored of the Lord. It started coming out of his mouth. And ever since then, things have improved, you know. Did on that day, right? Oh, right, okay. Well, there we are then. Okay. So when we start saying those sort of things, blessing actually starts tracking us down and heading for us. Okay, so that's the second thing. First thing, words have creative power. Saying things, what we say can either have a good or a bad effect on our lives. Here's the third thing. If you begin to change what you say, you'll start to change what you see in your life. This is what one aspect of God's nature, his character, what he's like. Because the Bible says in Romans 4 and verse 17, God, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Do you know what we do? We do the opposite. We tend to call things that are as if they've always been that way and they're always going to be that way. They'll never change. We just state the obvious, what's already there. I'm so fed up. We're just describing what we are. I've not got any friends, and nobody ever wants to be my friends, my friend. And all we're doing is we're creating an invisible atmosphere that actually repels people from us. We're just describing the same thing. So here's the thing. And there's, don't use your words just to describe your situation. Rather, use your words to change your situation. So instead of saying, I don't know why this has happened to me, it's so unfair, you're just going to draw more self-pity in on yourself. And just go down the tubes. Rather than that, say, well, you know, in all things, I know that God is working for my good. I'm not going to lose hope. My future is bright. The right people are in my future. The right opportunities are coming my way. Things are shifting in my favor. Here's a saying I heard someone else say, and I caught it, and it resonated with me. And I wonder if I can say it, and then I wonder if in your heart you can say it with me. It's this: the rest of my life is the best of my life. The rest of your life is the best of your life in God. How can I say that? I'll tell you why, because in Proverbs it says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. And we may go through many troubles and problems, and we will. But we can get over those. We can get through those with God. And the rest of my life is the best of my life. Can we say that? So personalize it. The rest of my life is the best of my life, meaning you. The rest of my life is the best of my life. Amen. So we say, rather than say, we've got all this debt, I'm coming out of debt. And I'm saying it. I'm going to have a good second half to this year. And I tell you what, I'm telling you that. I've fallen off a ladder twice this year. I tell you what, I am not falling off a ladder at any more time. I'm saying so. I'm trusting God to improve my health, and I'm saying so. God is with me and he's for me, and I'm telling you that. I'm saying to anybody and everything, angels, demons, whatever there is, I'm saying that. God is for us. He's not against us. Here's the thing. If you want to know what you will be like, what you will be doing in 5 years' time, tell you one thing to do. Listen to yourself. What are you saying about yourself? We prophesy our future. We declare into being, because our words are full of creative power. And they have power for good or bad. What are you saying? What are you saying in your life? What you consistently keep on saying, you are moving towards. When you speak, things begin to happen. Opportunities begin to find you. Maybe good breaks. Maybe you get a thought in your head one day. Where did that come from? Things just seem to track you down in a good way. After all, the Bible does say that, doesn't it? Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. They track you down. They hunt you down for good. If bad people can hunt people down for bad, I want to tell you there's a God in heaven who is good, and he tracks you down for good. But it's got to come out of our mouth at some point. And that brings me on to the fourth point, and that is that our words give life or give legs to our faith. They give life to what we believe. So here's a question, and that is, are you giving life to your faith by speaking it out? That's my point today, always saying so. See, Psalm 91 and verse 2 says this. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Can we say that? I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And do you know what? There's a result for that. And the result is numerous. God almost becomes your own personal bodyguard. He says, he's going to save me from the fowler's snare and the deadly pestilence. He will be my shield. I will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day. No harm will overtake me. He will guard me in all my ways. He will be with me in trouble. He'll deliver me and honor me with long life. Especially as you get older, this appeals, doesn't it? With long life, he will satisfy me. So can I just draw your attention to the connection here? That he says, I will say, and then God, he will do. Put it this way. What if we turned it round and said, well, I will not say, he will not do. Is that logical? But I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my strength. Are you giving life to your faith by declaring it? Do you know a wonderful thing about when I come in here to praise and worship God? The songs we sing are just like singing the truth. And aren't they good? I mean, we don't say, oh, I'm going to have a terrible week next week, and all this bad thing's going to happen, and all that. Anybody feel like that when you sing these songs? We're actually singing. This is God's will. We're singing here over us. We're actually declaring it. So, hey, listen, don't downrate praise and worship. It's one of the most wonderful and powerful things that you can do. Get it on in your car, you know, praise the Lord and all that sort of stuff and sing it out. Build you up. Last thing. Fifth thing. Oh, hey, I'm doing all right, David, today. Time-wise, I'm doing all right. I'm on time. I'm not going over. It's good. Last thing. For maximum effect, our words need to be in agreement with God's words. For maximum effect, okay? Now, when our words agree with God's words, God's power is released into that situation. In a way, you could almost say, if Hugh here, is speaking in any situation that I face, what God is saying in that situation, it's like God is speaking through me. It's like God's speaking it. Can you imagine that? In other words, if I start saying what God would say about any particular thing, his power is released into that situation through my words, through your words. What a responsibility, what potential we have. Let me just give you an example from Jeremiah. We're reading this in the devotional on Tuesday. So thank you, Ellen, because you gave me this. Was she there? Anyway, your wife, Steve, Ellen. She gave me this, came up with this. And it was, then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. But he says, I have put my words in your mouth. Now, if you look at the history of this, the nations that Jeremiah was sent by the Lord, by the word of the Lord to speak to, do you know what? It all happened as he said. You can check it out historically. Those he, by the word of the Lord, God's word, those he spoke out to pull down, they came down. And those that he planted, they went up, according to the word of the Lord. And that's the power of our word. When our words are lined up with God's word, they are incredibly powerful. In fact, Jeremiah as well says, my word is like a hammer that breaks a rock, breaks anything really hard. So how do we know what God would say about any situation, particular situation we face? Do you ever get fed up with people saying, hey, I've got a way that you can read your Bible, some daily readings, this. Oh, why do they keep pumping this at me? Well, the thing is, it's to put potential in your hands. It's so that you can know what God's will is for situations that you and I face in our lives on a day-to-day basis. How am I going to know what to do in a certain situation? Well, as you read this, you become familiar with God's ways, how he would react in certain situations. Let me just give you an example. With all that's going on in the world, who's heard about these awful, again, another atrocity, this time in Barcelona? Who's heard, I was talking to my neighbour the other day about the whole Brexit thing, and he's petrified. I mean, he's absolutely petrified. He's sort of, he says it totally depresses him. Not a Christian. Trying to convert him. Well, you know, not convert him. Trying to give him the gospel and all that. It's one of my ambitions that he gets saved. But he's just depressed and fed up with it. It weighs him down. Fear and dismay. But then you come to the revelation of God's, what would God say about that situation? What would God say about crippling fear, depression, oppression over your life, over my life? What would he say? Well, let me turn you to Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Keep going, please. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says, do not fear. So if you're a child of God today, this is what God would say. Say, don't fear, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And you read that as a child of God, and you think, and faith comes in your heart. And you say, oh, yes, I've been fearful. I've been a bit pressed down with all this stuff, whatever it is in my life. But this is what God says. This is what God says. So what do? You say so. Could you say that with me? After three. One, two, three. I will not fear, for you are with me. I will not be dismayed, for you are my God. You will strengthen me and help me. You will uphold me with your righteous right hand. So many other things that we find there in the Bible. And as we speak those things out, we're attracting those very things to our doorstep. We're inviting them into our lives. The things that you consistently say come your way. So instead of, say, complaining, you know, complaining about this, complaining about Brexit, complaining about the cat or whatever, you know, all that's going to do is just draw more defeat. Better to say, you know what, I've got grace for this season. God has promised me beauty for ashes, joy for mourning. He's going to bind up my broken heart and bring me freedom. God's favor is on my life. I feel so weak. Well, Joel 3 in verse 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. Paul says, be strong in the Lord. But let's say so. I'm strong in the Lord because those who are with me are greater than those who are against me. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And so I just want to encourage us this morning that whatever situation you're in, I am not talking about a magic wand. I am not talking about that. I am simply saying that there is power in the spoken word. And the most powerful thing that you and I can ever do is find out what God's will is about a situation and then start to speak that either into your life or into the life of a loved one, into the life of our nation, our area, because we can change Grimsby and Cleethorpes by extending the word of God, his will over things. Now, going back to what Shirley said, she told me that every day over those, I think it was 3 months, that they prayed 5 days a week and declared life over the Grange estate. Each morning when they got there, they started with a proclamation, a declaration. And it's this that's on, it's not that one, it's the next one. If you could bring the next one up. It's from Psalm 24. And it's, lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. That's who we're talking about. The Lord, mighty in battle. This is Almighty God. This is not some seance. This is not some silly thing. This is Almighty, righteous, holy God. Could you go to the next one? Oh, gone there. Thank you. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up. It says it again. Saying it again. Keep saying it. Say so. Who is this King of Glory? And so on. And just to close, what I'd love, and the worship team are going to come back and sing another declaratory song. But just to close, I'm just thinking, can you go back one? Can you go back one? Great. Wonderful. I wondered if what I'd like us to do, if you're willing, is if Grimsby and Cleethorpes are on your heart for God to bless, if you've got a person, a loved one, a family member, a friend on your heart, declare it over them. If you're thinking about our government, our prime minister, our nation, if you're thinking about people in Barcelona right now who are suffering, then declare it out and speak God's word. May you come into that situation, because that's really anyone's only hope, long-lasting hope, is the Lord to come in. So would you mind standing? And could I invite us just to read this through? So person on the over the screen, when we get to the end there, you have to flick it on to the next one to get the last bit. So let's go there. So lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory.